Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Amen. I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 19. I'm going to be going there. We've entered the Christmas season. How many of you are ready? Ready for Christmas? How many of you have already got your Christmas shopping done? You're finished. Wow, you guys are incredible. Christmas is one of my favorite seasons. Just the Thanksgiving holiday rolling into Christmas. It's a favorite season for a lot of reasons. But I've noticed at Christmas time, everything gets highlighted and everything gets a little bit more magnified. And I'm going to be doing a series, and I'm going to be doing it in the next 3 weeks. And I really, as I just meditated about what happens during the Christmas time, because of that simple magnification of everything, everything becomes a little bit more intense. And I want to do a series that's going to cover some things that magnify themselves in our lives during the Christmas season. And one of those things next week I'm going to be talking about is healing from shame. You say, Pastor, that's not much of a Christmas series. Well, you know, it's a big part of the Christmas series, because I'll just tell you, when Christmas rolls around, some people think that since I did bad, then I am bad, and I'll always be bad. But I want you to know that's a lie of the enemy. That's not true. God doesn't want His people walking around with their head hanging down, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right, somebody? So what you have done is what you have done, past tense. What you are now is a child of God. So you don't have to walk in that shame. So we'll be talking about that next week. And then on the third week of this series, I'm going to be talking about overcoming labels. You say, what does that mean? Well, you know, labels tend to limit our life, because many of us live by the latest headline that we read over ourselves, right? Who you are, what you've done, what you haven't accomplished, the last job you had, the most recent family issue that you've dealt with, and you label yourself according to what you have just read in the headline, or you allow the enemy just to speak that over your life and you just live that label. Let me tell you something. When you're living in a label that is not the label that God has placed upon you, it limits your life. I'm going to be talking about that in a couple weeks. But today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be talking about something that is very important for us all as we begin the Christmas season, and that is that I want to show you today how to overcome and to live free from offenses. Free from offenses. Now, how many of you know somebody who gets easily offended? Anybody? Raise your hand. You know somebody that just gets really bent out of shape really quickly and really easily. I want you to know that you raising your hand, if they knew that you were thinking about them, they would be very offended right now because you're raising your hand. But how many of you would say to yourself, you would say, you know what, there's been times when I've been a little bit easy to be offended myself. How many of you would be honest and you'd say, you know, that's me. We've all been there. We've all been there. And I want to take a look at that, just those offenses today. So if you would, I want you to just pray with me that the Lord is just going to take His word and that He's going to speak to us about how we can handle this. Because we live in a culture that is highly sensitive. Did you know that? Where everybody is so easily offended. I found out this weekend that doing this is now a penalty because it offends Texas Longhorn people. Well, this offends me. So what are we going to do about it? We live in a culture that's so overly sensitive that we need to learn, as the body of Christ, how to overcome offenses. So I'm going to pray that God's going to help us through His Word to speak to us today. How do we do that? Father, thank You, Lord God, for this church. Thank You, Lord, for the Spirit and the presence that is here today. I just pray that, Lord, that You would take Your Word, that You would speak to us, that You would change us, Lord, that You would use us, Lord, to be the people that You want us to be, and that You would make us, Lord God, into the people that You have called us to be. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 There are times, and there have been times in my life, you know, you all raised your hand. You said there's times when you've been highly offended or easily offended. And there's been times in all of our lives where everything we take is just too personal. And we usually do that with little things. Now, there's insignificant things that I have allowed in my life, and I'm just going to confess to you that I have gotten offended over. For example, when you're sitting on 35 and you're just crawling along, or you're on an access road, or you're approaching a ramp, or somebody's approaching a ramp, and you slow down. Okay, you slow down so that somebody who is patiently waiting on that ramp can get in to the flow of traffic on I-35, and you intentionally slow yourself down a few seconds so that they can have a spot in your lane. And usually, you know, what I want is I want them to recognize that I am putting myself out of the line of cars, and I am moving myself backwards so that they can have a place. And what I expect is for them to, you know, just give me a wave or a courtesy head nod or a thumbs up or anything. But there have been times when I have intentionally slowed down, put myself in a slower position, and that person just zooms in front of me like they own that road. And it offends me, people to do that. So if you're ever on the ramp and I see you, you better head nod me, or you better wave at me, or at least do something so that I don't get offended. That's insignificant. I've been at Walmart before. I've walked to the, as I'm walking from the parking lot, and I open the door, and I look behind me, and there's some ladies or a family behind me, and I stand there, and I open the door, and they come through. Now, what I expect is for them to say, thank you. That was nice. I appreciate that. But there's been times when people have walked right by me, and I guess they thought that I was getting paid to hold the door open for everybody. And they just didn't even give me the time of day. I didn't even have a blue vest on. And I was offended at that. Many of you would be offended at that too. There's been times when I get offended because I'm trying to speak to somebody and they're on the phone. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? And they're on the phone and that offends me. That offends me. Now, those are kind of my easily offended things. You say, Pastor, that's silly. Well, let me just go where some of you live, because I'm not a big social media person, but some of you are big social media people. And so what you do is you get on like Twitter or Instagram and you follow somebody. And what is the common expectation that they should do for you? Should follow back, right? Well, what happens if they don't follow you back? Oh, well, you get offended. Oh, so you're that kind of person, huh? So I can follow you, but I'm not good enough for you to follow me. Or you comment on Facebook and you just say how good that their post was. But when you post something and they're nowhere to be found, it's like they have vanished from Facebook. That's serious business. Some of you just get all bent out of shape. But the big one, here's the big one. If you ever get unfriended. If you ever get unfriended, oh, for some of you, that's just off the hook. You can't stand. You're so offended, you're just like, I'll never talk to that person again. They offended me on Facebook. I don't even think I can be friends with them at all, period. I'm over it. I'm done with those people. I have learned, my kids have taught me, that there is a texting protocol that should be adhered to. Because if you don't, you can offend people by how you text. For example, someone texts me. I had a friend text me. And it took me 24 hours to respond. Now, I didn't know that there was a time limit on texting. I didn't know that there was a specific amount of period of time for a text to expire. How many of you understand that that is common decorum for texting, that there is a time frame to reply on texting? Okay, and I offended this guy because it took me 24. He's like, you're the slowest replier. He said, that goes down as a record. I said, I can't believe you offended me that way. And I thought, okay, so here's how it works. So I sent a text to this friend of mine. And this is even worse. This is what offended me when it came to texting. It's because I sent the text, and then all of a sudden, underneath my text is the little bubbles. And the bubbles come up, so I'm thinking, okay, he's fixing to say something back to me. And I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and the bubbles stay there, and nothing. You got me? There we go. We can get offended in the holidays too, because during the holidays, when you show up at grandma's house and you wait on the same relative every year because they're always late and they never bring anything with them except their appetite, it offends me and it offends you too. But it's just, it's insignificant things like that that we get so offended at, and it changes our attitude. It changes our demeanor. It changes the whole day. It changes the way we regard one another and how we talk and how we speak to one another. Now, those are insignificant things, but let me just tell you about offenses. There's some offenses that are big. And during the holidays, when everything is magnified and highlighted, those insignificant things, which are numerous, they're also surrounded by those big things that emerge this time of year that become so huge and disproportionate. Some of you have been betrayed in your life. Some of you have been lied about or hurt. Maybe abuse has occurred in the past. Maybe there's things that have been traumatic in your family. And during the Christmas season, those events and those offenses are magnified and highlighted in your life because of just the amount of time that you can spend thinking about them. And those old offenses just wreak havoc in many people's lives this time of year because we allow them to sneak in. And in our mind and in our thoughts, as we're sitting down at Christmas dinner, the dinner is destroyed because that old offense is still there. Families become divided. Friendships are even lost and ended because those old offenses, those big, the serious ones that we know they're real and they're there, those offenses, they hang on to us like Velcroed pieces of baggage that just walk around with us in our life. And my prayer for you this Christmas is that we can go and enter this season. And then I pray that we will be able to open gifts, and not with a closed mind or a hardened heart, but we would be able to open gifts with joy. That we don't celebrate Christ at the same time we hold ill will toward people who are around us also celebrating the birth of Christ. I pray that during this Christmas season that we don't enjoy the grace of God that was so lavishly placed upon all of our lives while we don't extend the same grace to those who have offended us or who have hurt us in our own life. You see, that's the reason that I want to speak to you on this subject, is because this Christmas I want you to overcome those offenses. And if you can do that, you will have the most enjoyable, fulfilling season that you have ever had as you let go of those things, as you learn how to disregard and overcome offenses. You overcome the tendency to be so easily offended. And so here's the statement that I want to give you today that everything is going to spin around, and then I'm going to go read some scripture and show you how this works. Here's the statement I want you to see. It's this: that your life is too short and your calling is too great to be offended. Life is just too short. The calling that God has put on your life is too great for you to live and to be offended. Because life, let me tell you something, days go by and years go by, and it's amazing how fast life vaporizes in front of us. It just goes so fast. It wasn't several Christmases ago. All my kids were young. They were little. They were children waking up and opening baby dolls and army men and different things like that. And now they just want gift cards and money. I mean, it's just everything's changed. They're older now.
And life just passes by so fast. We had a Christmas tree we pulled out this year. Shannon and I were positive because none of the lights worked. And I said, well, didn't we buy that thing recently? She said, we just bought that like last year. So I searched for the receipt, and I find the receipt. It was under warranty for 2 years. We bought it 5 years ago. We couldn't even remember how long ago, how many years we had had it. We were both, because it happened so fast. Life happens so fast. And the calling that God has placed upon your life is too great for you to live important. Not only the calling for me, but everyone in this room has a calling of God upon your life. You're called to be light. You're called to be salt. You're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And your calling is too great to live offended. Because when you live offended, it's hard to fulfill God's plan and calling in your life. You see, life is just too short and your calling is too great to be offended. We don't have time. And we don't have any reason to live offended, because here's usually what happens when you are offended and you live offended. It reduces the size of your life, because small people carry big offenses. You just continue to carry them with your life. But today I just want to encourage you, refuse to live offended. Refuse to carry offenses that have hurt you from others. Words that were spoken, refuse to carry them any longer. I want you to make up your mind today that you're not going to let offenses ruin this Christmas in your life. Proverbs 19:11, Scripture says this. It says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory, notice this, to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you just pretend that it didn't happen? No, not anything what it means. What it does mean is that you make a conscious decision to let it go. You make a decision. It's a rapid form of forgiveness. It is a real-time choice that you make when that word is spoken, or when someone does something to you, or when someone passes you by and doesn't speak. You make a momentary decision right then and there that you are going to overlook that offense, that you're not even going to go there. I'm not going to let that into my mind. I'm not going to let that into my heart. That moment that you feel that urge to be offended, you just say to yourself, I will not let that go, because to my glory I will overlook an offense. That Hebrew word for overlook actually is two Hebrew words there, which means to pass over or to walk over, to rise above. Friends, you can rise above the spiritual and emotional offenses that people lay in front of you. It's the trap of the enemy. It's the bait of Satan for you to become offended, because once you take the bait, you fall into the trap, and he holds you there until you can release that offense. A famous philosopher made a quote. As I was studying for this, it stood out to me, and this is what he said. He said, whenever anyone has offended me, I try to raise my soul so high that the offense cannot reach it. When I get offended, I lift my soul so high that the offense cannot reach my heart, because life is too short and my calling is too great to live and to be offended, because I can't allow something that's so small keep me from doing something big for God. So here's my challenge to you today. This Christmas, with God's help, I want you to say two things. Number one is that with God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended. Would you just say that to your neighbor? I'm getting over it. I'm getting over being easily offended. Now, don't offend your neighbor as you tell them that, okay? With God's help, I'm getting over being easily offended, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not going to easily offend me at all. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, look what the scripture says. It says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Does anybody know anybody who is completely perfect? No. Nobody. If you raise your hand, we'll have prayer at the end of service. We don't know anybody that's perfect. Why? Because we all have faults. And the scripture says that we should make an allowance for everybody's, for each other's faults. We shouldn't be offended by our, by other people's faults, especially when they're directed toward us. But here's the problem. We tend to judge other people by their actions and judge ourselves by our intentions. Isn't that true? We judge other people by the actions or the words that they say, and we're immediately quick to point out what they have done. But when it comes to us, we say, well, I didn't mean to, I didn't intend that. That's not how it came. It shouldn't have come out that way because that's not what I meant. We judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our own intentions. Several years ago, I was preaching a message. I preached a message one Sunday about the consequences of truth and deception in our life. And I remember preaching that message. I know where I was. And that week, after, you know, really just hammering the pulpit hard that Sunday morning, telling the church, we got to live by the truth. Don't allow deception to be a part of your life. I had to run into Walmart that week and pick up a few things. And as I'm going in there, I noticed some people from the church. And I didn't have time. I was so busy. Okay, so I'm just confessing to you. I was just busy. I had to run in there, get something, and take off again. And as I see them going to the checkout line, and I'm going to the checkout line at the same time, I knew that if I stopped and spoke to them, it was going to be a 15-minute conversation. That's just the way it was going to be. So what I did was I grabbed my phone out of my pocket, and I put it up to my ear, and I pretended that I was talking to someone. Now, don't sit there and smirk, because I know some of you have done the exact same thing. You saw me coming, and you put your phone up to your... No, I'm just kidding. So I'm holding the phone up to my ear, and they see me, and I see them, and I just, you know, give them one of those, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's all good. And just as they stop doing that, don't worry about it, Shannon calls me. And the phone rings while I'm holding it up to my ear. You see, we want people to give us the benefit of the doubt. We want people to give us the benefit of the doubt. Hey, you know what? You know, the deception or whatever. You know, I'm just, don't be offended by that. But we want to judge others by their actions. We don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt. When someone says something to you or does something to you, extend them the same grace that you would want extended to you. Because if you're going to get over being easily offended, you have to recognize this. To understand this, that when someone has had a bad day, when someone seems a little uncaring, when someone's words seem a little bit short, when their attention seems very inattentive toward you, their bad response is not about you. Not everybody's life is about you. And that's why we live in a culture that is so sensitive and easily offended, is because everybody thinks that your life should revolve around mine. Come on, I'm preaching now. We think that everyone should always consider what we think and what we feel and what we believe and what we want to do. And when we don't get the response that we think we deserve, we're offended by that. But just to be honest, people have bad days. People have times when they're in a hurry and they don't have the moment to spend and take a half an hour to talk, even at Walmart. But let me just say this. You don't have to live offended. You don't have to. So rather than judging someone and becoming offended, what should we do? We should have the attitude that Christ had. We should have compassion on them. Oh, well, they're in a hurry. They're busy. They've got something going on. We don't know what's happened to them that week, so I'm not going to get offended. I don't know their story. I don't know how they're feeling. Maybe they're sick. I don't know. Instead of passing judgment on them and thinking that it should be about me, maybe we should let it be about them and God, and we should find a place to pray for them and allow that offense to just pass right by. Several years ago, there was a pastor that I knew, and I'll just be honest, I didn't like him. I didn't like him at all. He just, you know, there are just certain people that just rubbed you the wrong way, and he's a pastor. People knew it. And, you know, I was just like, yeah, I don't like you. I just don't like you. It just came off that way, and just, you know, I know that you've met people like that. I hope you wouldn't say that about me, but I just didn't like him. And years later, the reason, one of the reasons why I didn't like him is because I heard him, and he made a statement that sounded like he was sending criticism in my direction. And I didn't know the truth of it, but I felt offended because I thought that he was coming at me. And so immediately, you know, I'm just tossing him overboard. Well, several years later, we're at a conference, and we're side by side in this line, and we start talking. Turns out, he's one of the nicest guys ever. Now we're really good friends. And I had to ask him. I said, look, man. I said, years ago, I said, you're preaching a message, and you're saying some things, and it just felt like you were lobbing grenades in my direction. And he said, man, he said, let me be honest. He said, I was in a bad place in my life. And he said, I wasn't throwing those grenades toward you. I was actually throwing them at me. He said, that was about me. And I said to myself, Lord, forgive me for being offended at this man for so many years and losing that relationship for so long, and now we're really good buddies. Because how often do we build a case against someone that we think is directing criticism toward us when actually they're never giving us a thought? But we build a case to present to everybody. And that's exactly what I did. Can I just once again remind you that life is too short and that your calling is too great in order for you to live offended? Life is too short. Don't let it happen, because you'll blink and 30 years will go by and that conversation will never have been had, and you're still dwelling on the things that occurred 30 years ago. Life's too short for that, to let offenses rule your life. So this Christmas, with God's help, I want you to commit to getting over being easily offended. And then also this Christmas, with God's help, I want you to be able to get over the big offenses. I know that some of you are here this morning and you have very significant wounds in your life. Very real, very painful, very raw. And every Christmas, you deal with many of the same thoughts and the same feelings, because it stirs up a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. Memories begin to flood back over your life, over your mind, and you remember lies, you remember betrayal that occurred in your own life. And you have two choices to make today. Two choices. One choice is you can rehearse that offense. You can rehearse the offense. You can just put that movie back in the player, and you can just watch that movie over and over and let that offense continue to just roll in front of you all of your life. You can continue to watch that, and you can feed the bitterness, and you can feed the anger that dwells up into your life every time that you're reminded of that. And this season, because of the pain that you feel, you can blame all of that on that individual or that person, and you can just rehearse that pain and that offense over and over. Or you can release it. You can release that offense. You can release that hurt. You can pass over it. You can overcome it. You can be the overcomer that Jesus said that he wants you to be. You can overcome. You can see the other side. You can step over it. Now, it may take a process. It may take a period of time for that to play out. But as you press into God, as you lean into God, I want you to know that His Spirit will begin to change your heart, and He will begin to unhook the talons of that offense that has latched itself within your heart, and you will be free more this Christmas than you have ever been in your life. You will have finally a free Christmas, because you'll be free from carrying that offense. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says this. I want you to make allowance, Paul said, for each other's faults. We've heard that already. And I want you to forgive anyone who offends you. How do you do it? You forgive anyone who offends you. And then look at this last part. He says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what has happened to me. You don't understand the words that they spoke to me. You don't understand what they did to me. How do you do it? I was so hurt. They were so wrong. How do I get over this? Here's how. You forgive as you have been forgiven. You forgive others just as God has forgiven you. Just as God has released from your past words, and He has released you from your past actions, and He has released you from your sin that weighed you down, you have to release the others from their past words, and from their actions, and from their attitudes, and from the things that they have done so deeply to hurt you. You release them. Can I just say that I've been forgiven for a lot of things in my life, all the years that I know that I can count, I don't even like to think about, but there's been times that I have let a lot of people down. I've hurt people. I have wounded people. I have wronged people. And I had to ask God to forgive me. And in the same way, I seek the forgiveness of others because I don't want to be that offense in their life. As I thought about this message, I thought about the reality of what Christmas does in our homes. Let me speak very personally to some of you. Some of you in your marriages, it's complicated. Just like that movie, it's complicated. Because some of you, and I don't know where you are in your marriage, but it's really complicated. Some of you have been betrayed by your spouse. And that offense has dug deep into your heart. It's dug deep into your life. My encouragement to you today is this. You have to remember how much you have been forgiven. Remember how much God has forgiven you. Remember what you have done and how God freed you from all of those things. You have to rise above the offense. The thing that's holding you back, you have to commit yourself that it will hold me back no longer. Those insignificant offenses that are just on the edge, you carry them on your shoulder and your spouse says a word or you're so eager to be offended by your spouse, you have to say no more. You have to release those things. You have to not allow them to get you off track anymore. You have to get over it. And for the big things, you over time allow the process to get you to the point to where you can say, I am over it. I'm past. There's a story in Genesis chapter 45 that started when a young man was 17 years old. He and his brothers didn't have a very good relationship. Matter of fact, it was so bad that his brothers despised him. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 45 that they would not even speak to him. And the only time that they did speak to him, they spoke ill toward him. There was some serious offense in that family. Serious problems. And one day, this young 17-year-old, this young man named Joseph, is going out to the field to find his brothers. And his brothers see him coming. And so they plot against him. They say, you know what? We're done with this kid. And what did they do? They took him. They took the coat that his father had favored him with and blessed him with. They took it off of him. They threw him in a well, into a pit. Eventually, they sold him to a caravan of people who were traveling toward Egypt. They sold him. He ends up in Egypt where he is falsely accused, where he ends up in prison. He's forgotten by the friends that said that they were his friends. But somehow, some way, the plan of God saw Joseph move from that pit to the palace. And he ends up being the second man in charge in all of the nation of Egypt. As God's providence would have it, a famine breaks out in the Middle East, and his brothers, whom he hadn't seen for 40 years, show up on his doorstep asking for food because they had none. Joseph steps out, and in Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, as he sees his brothers, as he sees those whom had challenged his very life, the Bible says that he sent everyone away, and he went back into his own room, and that he wept bitterly. He cried. Because as he saw them, all of those memories flooded through his mind. All of those thoughts, the betrayal, the heartache, the pain, the painless word, the people just, his brothers ignoring him and just acting like he wasn't even alive, not worth anything, the offenses that he could have stored up in his life, he was flooded over with them again. And the Bible says that he went to his own chamber by himself and he just cried. And after he had dealt with it internally, he went out to his brothers and he revealed himself to them because they didn't even know who he was. And his brother says, you know, we're sorry we didn't realize what we were doing. And Joseph says these words to them. Don't be afraid. Because they were scared. They were scared that this man would carry those offenses and that he would take revenge upon those people who had offended him. You know, that's really the way the world wants us to believe and to behave. That if someone offends you, then you have the right to attack them and to destroy them and to tear them apart. But I want you to notice the words of Joseph. He said this. As he looked at his brothers who had tried to steal his very life, he said this. I'm not mad at you. I've given it to God. Because, listen, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. Joseph didn't carry those offenses. For 40 years, sitting in a prison, he didn't think about it. He released them. He didn't continue to replay that. He released his brothers. He released the ones who had offended him the most. He released them to God. And he forgave them. And he was able to step over, to overcome, as Proverbs says, to overcome those offenses. During the holidays, the pain from the past floods our lives over again. And it shows up on our doorstep just like the brothers of Joseph. Maybe people in your family or people thoughts or pictures, and the pain is intensified and magnified because of the season. But understand that what God meant for, or what someone may have meant for evil, God can make good. He can intend for good. Because it's God's goodness and it's God's grace that helps us to get over it. Helps us to get over it. What used to offend me, just being honest, moves below me now. Things that people used to say or do, I step right over them because I have, as Descartes said, I've raised my soul so high that it's out of reach from the offense. Hear me. Life is too short and your calling is too great for you to live offended. Let's bow our heads this morning. I know that many of you have heard my words this morning and you had names or faces of people that immediately came to your mind. Moments where you allowed that offense to take deep root into your heart and into your life. But this morning, can I encourage you to take up the challenge that I've laid before you? First of all, not to be offended by insignificant things, not to be a part of the culture that is so easily offended at everything and just takes the joy out of living, but you would look over those things, that you would be a mature believer and step over them just as the scripture says, you overlook. It's to your glory to overlook an offense. But for those of you who have dealt and are dealing this Christmas with some big offenses, with some things that have really brought havoc to your life, would you take up my challenge this morning? Would you take up the challenge that we find in the Word of God that says, don't allow those things to replay over and over in your heart, but release them to God. Give them to the Lord this morning. As I close this morning, here's what I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your head and to take just a moment today to pray and to connect to the Lord and to turn some things over that has weighed you down. Some of you, as we pray, I want you to speak the name of that person who has offended you, who hurt you, betrayed you, brought so much pain into your life. It's time to release them, because as God has forgiven you, so you must also forgive others. It's easy to forgive when you think that you are deserving. But God wants you to forgive no matter if they deserve it or not. So this morning as I pray, I want you to speak the name of that person. Or just speak that word and say, God, I release this offense into your hands, and I give it to you. I'm going to live free of offenses in my life. I'm going to step over them. I'm going to overlook them. And God says, that's to your glory. So why don't we pray together, and let's release those things today. Father, your word is true. It is to a man, a woman's glory, to overlook offenses, to rise above them, Lord, to be the bigger person. I pray that, Lord, just as the grace, Lord, that came down upon us, Lord, undeserving, unmerited favor, as, Lord Jesus, you wrapped yourself in flesh and you descended, Lord God, onto this earth, Lord, that you were born as a child to a virgin, Lord, placed in a stable. As you came, Lord, to bring the grace of God to us, so I pray that, Lord, that we would also extend the grace of God to others in our life. Father, I pray for those, Lord, who are dealing with, Lord, major offenses in their life. Maybe even right now, Lord God, it's complicated. But Lord, I pray that, God, that the talons of that offense, Lord, would be broken off and that you would release them. That you would release them, Lord God, to be able to forgive and to live free. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that comes, Lord, because in you there is complete liberty, there is freedom. So, Father, I pray that, God, today as we release those who have held us, Lord, from offenses, Lord, that we would release them, Lord, and that we would leave this service this morning knowing that you have changed our hearts and that you've changed, Lord God, our minds, because, Lord, life is just too short and our calling is too great, Lord, for us to live this way anymore. I thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord, and for everyone in it. Help us to receive that same forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.